You know, I want to talk to you a minute about being blessed of God. God wants you blessed. I meet a lot of people on the streets of St. Louis and our church in Palm Beach who they have some money and they have a good life and they go, I don't want to give that up. You know, when you serve God, you can have money and serve God. Some of the things have been kind of misconstrued by some teachers. It's not that God doesn't want you to have money. It's not that God doesn't want you to be blessed. It's that God doesn't want money having you. Well, what about that rich young ruler guy? What about him? The Bible said that there was this rich young ruler who came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus said to him, and he quotes the Big Ten, right? Thou shalt not kill and commit adultery. He goes through them all. And then this young man says, well, I've done all that since my mother's, you know, just upbringing. I mean, I've never done any of those wrong things. But the Lord looks at him and said, well, there's one thing you lack. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and then you'll have eternal life. And so he walked away sad at that saying. He walked away going, oh, man, I can't do that. His disciples, the Bible, if you read that passage in the synonymous Gospels, they were quite shocked, and they said, well, how do we enter the kingdom of God? In other words, I'm a physician, Luke says. I've got money. Another says, well, I got that big fishing business with all those multiple boats, and how do I enter in? And Jesus looks essentially at them and says, no, you guys have a right relationship with money. People who have a wrong relationship with money, their God is their money, and I will have no other gods before me. See, God wants to bless his people because he knows when you have a right relationship with money, you can do the right thing and change lives with it and also be blessed of God by trusting in him. Another incredible story, Jesus is preaching to, the Bible says 5,000 men were gathered, and they, of course, in Bible days didn't acknowledge women. If there was 5,000 men, there were 5,000 women. And there were 5,000 men, 5,000 women, and no cable TV, there were 27,000 kids. Jesus has all these people listening to him, and all of a sudden he shows up, and the disciples come up and say, hey, the people are getting restless, they're getting hungry, they need to eat. Should we go buy them food? Right there, we know, how could they buy food for all those people if the disciples didn't have money? There was no lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Psalms 35, 27, it says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. He's magnified in the prosperity of his people. God wants you to be blessed. Jesus says, no, don't go buy bread. One of the other disciples said, we wouldn't know where to go anywhere. There's no Sam's in the area, no Costco, where we get this much bread. Jesus says something interesting. He says, what do we have on the property? Well, there's a young lad here, and he has 5 loaves and 2 fish, not nearly enough to do this. Jesus says, bring it to me. And watch how God does this. They bring it to Jesus, put it in his hands, and it says, Jesus, break it. He blessed it and lifted it up in prayer to God. He broke it off. And then all of a sudden, there was so much multiplication, they began to share the food, and it says that everyone ate. The Bible says that everyone ate until they were satisfied. It wasn't like anybody was hungry. They were full, and they were satisfied, and there were 12 baskets left over. See, God is not a God of just enough. He's a God of more than enough. He is not El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai. He wants to meet all of your needs and the needs of other people. Now, they go back to the little lad, and they give him these 12 baskets that are left over. 12, the 12, representing the 12 tribes, representing the 12 disciples. He walks away with the 12 disciples, and he's walking home. And I'm sure there were people saying, oh, what in the world's he going to do with all that? He doesn't deserve that. He was the only investor. He got to walk away with all of the resources and the reward because he took a risk. Remember, there's never, ever any reward without risk. But there really is no risk when you're actually doing business with God. He said, I want to bless you. You should be blessed coming in, blessed going out. Everything your hand touches should turn to good. God wants to bless his people with resources so that we can continue to dig wells in foreign countries. We have people having church today all over the world in Faith Church, beautiful buildings that we've built with wells out front, and they're walking from miles around because Faith Church is blessed with the necessary resources to not only meet our needs, but meet the needs of people around the world. Come on, give God praise today. So both here at our church in St. Louis and our church in Palm Beach, I want to drill into you that God wants to bless you. But you got to give it to God. You got to say, God, here's the first 10% of my income. It goes to you. And then God, not only that, I just want you to have access to whatever. That young boy walked away, of course, with this huge pile. You know, I'm sure he was probably definitely afraid when he gave away everything because his mom would have probably killed him if he came home with the story. What do you mean? You bought gummy bears, didn't you? I know you did. You went to the movies, didn't you? I know you did. He's nervous in the service, but then God blesses it, multiplies it, and now he comes home with 12 baskets. His mother's like, what in the world happened? He says, sit down. It's a long story. I got to tell you what the Lord did. Look what the Lord has done. And everyone in his family got to partake of the rich resources that God bountifully blessed him with because he was obedient to say, God, I'm going to put you first. Now here's the big kicker. God will ask you to do that. He will ask you at some point in your life, I want to bless you coming in. I want to bless you. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, then your way will be prosperous and then you will have good success. There's always that big if. People say, well, someday when I get blessed, then I will bless God. No, not true. We'll never get around to it. We must say, God, here I am, use me and send me. And when you trust God, it's never for less, it's always for more, and he'll continue to multiply your resources for sowing. And it has nothing to do with your education, nothing to do with where you live. I have a friend I grew up with in church. Her name is Tammy. She went to high school, but she didn't really have the money to go to college. But she's a very talented young girl, and she loved God. And she applied for a job at Citibank, and she got the job. And then they continued to raise her up and up and up until she became a six-figure person, and she was always nervous that somehow, some way, people were going to really find out that she wasn't qualified, that she shouldn't be there. I mean, you know, the devil's a creep like that, giving her fear on the inside. But she kept trusting God. She said, I'm a tither, I'm a giver. I got this position because God put me here. My credentials, I don't qualify. My education, I don't qualify. But if God qualifies you, you're qualified. Well, she did that for a number of years. And then the next thing you know, the Citibank laid her off. And they said, you know, we are actually going to get rid of your position. And so we're going to give you a six-month severance pay. I remember she came to church. She told Nicole and I what happened. We were sad with her. She thought it was over. She began to say, on month one, I'm going to get out and find another job. I got to try to find another job paying the same amount, but there's no way it'll ever happen. And so she lived in fear in month two, in month three, in month four, in month five. She came back and said, I got 30 days left. She's biting her nails. She's freaking out. A few days before her compensation was going to run out, Citicorp called her back and they said, Tammy, we found out that we need you back. We saw our apologetic in what we did to you that we're going to give you a bonus. We're going to move you up higher. We're going to give you an assistant, and we're going to keep you at the status you were. You don't lose any of the seniority that you had. Come on, somebody. Because God blessed her. You know what she told me? She said, I certainly wish I hadn't wasted 6 months. I should have enjoyed my time off. I should have went tanning and had a party. And I'm telling you, the same thing is going to happen to you. The God of the breakthrough is about to come into your life and give you a promotion, give you a raise, sell that house, change that situation. But you've just got to learn to trust God. That little boy was afraid, I'm sure, but he trusted Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He broke it, he blessed it, and then God multiplied it. You never will receive the harvest if you don't plant the seed. You'll never know what's just on the other side of your fear until you step out on nothing and say, God, I know the plans you have for me and they're for good. And he goes, yeah, I do have plans for you. But I plan for you to pass a couple tests on the way to your promised land. Now, in the Christians, they're real big on quoting the scripture. It says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many of y'all have heard that one? That's a good one, right? Good one. If you read the four verses above that, St. Paul is speaking to this church at Philippi. And he's saying, no one else helped me in the gospel ministry. Nobody else supplied our needs. Nobody else was tithing and giving to our organization. No one but you. And as a result of that, he says, your gifts and your tithes are like a sweet-smelling savior that goes up before the Father, and the Lord is going to bless you, verse 19. And our God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So a lot of people claim the promises, but they've never read the verses before. With no seed, there is no harvest. With no risk, there is no reward. See, there comes a point in your life where you've got to trust God with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. What I'm saying is you will be at the right place at the right time, meeting the right people because you serve the right God, because God is going to take care of you in grand style. All we have to go, we just got to say, hey, God, here it is. I don't have much, but what I have is yours. Now, Nicole and I, 10 years ago, when my dad went on to be with the Lord, God asked us to sell everything that we owned, and we had a great house and great barns and had a beautiful place. Nicole was the top salesperson in telecom. That's long gone now, but in all of America, they flew around on private jets, and it wasn't uncommon at all for her paycheck to be $100,000 at the end of the month. She'd win all the trips. She'd take me to the trips on or with her. I was married to her, so I had to go. And all the CFOs and CEOs would be rewarding her, and they always want to be around Nicole because they want to keep her happy. And they'd ask me, what do? And I'd say, I'm going to go get her. I take her to work, and then I go get her. And all those guys liked me because I made them laugh, and we had a good time. But as soon as my dad died, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, would you give that to me? Would you ask Nicole to be a volunteer at the church? Would you sell everything that you own, and would you go on television? And I was kind of like the rich young ruler. I walked away sad at that saying. But then God spoke to me, and he said, you'll look back on your life, and you will regret the fact that you did not use your humorous approach to preaching the word to helping people. So long story short, we sold our house. We sold our, gave our, you know, stuff away, whatever was necessary, and we moved into a subdivision in Sunset Hills, and we started Faith Church. At that point, we went on television. 13% the growth was every week. That means every Sunday we'd have to set out 13% more chairs than we did the previous week. That means eventually the building got full within a couple months. Then I was doing not one service but two, and two and three, and three and four, and four to five, and five to six, and seven to eight. And when eight was done, it was like God looked at me and said, now I'm going to trust you over much. So then he gave us the biggest bar in the state of Missouri. We went on television and told the whole world, we're not pointing the finger at you this way. We're pointing the finger at you this way. And guess what? We meet at the old In Cahoots. Thousands of people knew where to go to church. The people that had been partying and drinking and sinning. And the church got filled with a bunch of partying, drinking sinners who knew exactly how to get to Faith Church. I'm telling you, it's never for less. It's always for more. And if you'll trust God right now with what's in your hand, he wants to do something great in your life. That feeling of insecurity that you have. That guilt that you have because you're like, I know I should tithe. I know I should give. And I feel guilty because there's always more month than money. And really, in reality, it's very easy. You just have to trust God. And you go, God, I'm not going to give you the last. I'm going to give you the first. Because I know this in 2 Chronicles 16:19-9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are searching. He's looking to whom he can show himself strong to. It's not like he's looking for education. Tammy didn't have it. There's another Tammy I'm thinking of right now. Tammy and her husband Don. They're part of our ministry and our cycle, you know, bicycle club, and Tammy got some bad news from Don that Don lost his job. And in week one, she had enough overtime to cover his full salary. Week two, she had enough overtime to cover it again. Week three, she had enough overtime to cover it again. But how many know after that much overtime, you're kind of done. You're like, okay, God, Don needs a job. Would you believe that Don's employers called him back, put him back in, gave him a raise, gave him a promotion, and not only did they have all the resources of the extra money that she had, they also had now this advanced thing that happened to Don. I'm telling you, when you trust God with all your heart, he didn't bring you all this way to fail you, to let you down. Don't worry, don't wonder, don't waver. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you, and he's watching over you like a little sparrow. You don't see the sparrows running around going, I don't know what we're going to do today. It's so hot out here today. I don't know if God can supply water. He always supplies the resources that the birds need. The monkeys in the Panama Canal are jumping from tree to tree today with tens of thousands of extra bananas. God didn't get the memo that there's waste. He's saying, I'm El Shaddai. I've got more than enough. I can take care of you and your mom and your kids and your children's children, and you'll have enough left over to leave an inheritance. Can somebody say amen to that today? I'm talking to you. God's going to turn this thing around for your good. Just don't freak out. Just know that it's a word from God that He's speaking through me to you. Trust Him. Will you trust Him? Mark 10, 27, it says, it looks impossible with man, but with God, it is possible. Right now, a lot of our donors at our church, several of them, they didn't have any money when they started at the church, but we didn't have any millionaires. We just raised up our own. And we raised them up by teaching them the principle of putting God first. One that I'm thinking of right now, he began to put God first in the area of his business, and he grew from 2 employees to 13, from 13 to 300. God did something absolutely crazy in their life. And he retired, and God blessed him big time. And then he realized one day when he was retired that, I want to help pastors start this church in Palm Beach. He knew that I wouldn't go on television in Palm Beach if the bill wasn't paid, because I'll never, ever ask for money. If you ever see me asking for money on television, you'll know it wasn't me. Somebody's lying to you. I'll give the DVD away. This guy took the challenge, and he said, we're going to actually pay all the television bills. And they put us on Fox 29. You might be watching there right now. Then it blew up so good that ABC wanted us, and then ABC 25 took us. Now, would you believe that ABC, NBC, and CBS and Fox, we're on all those networks, and that one individual pays the bill every month because God resourced them so much? You might be saying, well, it just happened to them, but can it happen to me? There's a guy here that has a gift of climbing trees and doing some cool things. He began to trust God, felt a stirring in his spirit to tithe and to give. To put God first. God blessed them with their own business where he wouldn't climb trees and so on anymore. He'd climb these poles, these big antenna poles where they put the cellular devices on top, the antennas, and he'd go up there and do maintenance on them really high in the air. Nobody else wants to do it, so it's incredibly lucrative. God can take you from this place of desperation and not enough, and he can put you right into your wealthy place. And oftentimes he does it very rapidly. You might be saying, well, I'm 35, I'm 40, I'm 45. Listen, when God puts his super on your natural and you bless it and you break it and you give it to God and you say, God, you're first, then God can do things that other people just sit and scratch their head about. I'm talking about if you bless God, he will bless you. There's a man one day walked down the aisles of the church, and his name was Mike. Mike had on a pair of cutoffs and cutoff sleeves, and his cigarettes were hanging out. I hope I don't offend you, but he told me, he said, nice to meet you. You're a hell of a preacher. And I said, well, thank you, Mike. How many know you're not supposed to cuss in church? Almost half of you understand that right now. I said, well, thank you, Mike. And I began to talk to Mike and met Mike, and I felt just a drawing to him. And I said, you know, Mike, why don't we just go to lunch sometime? So I took his number down, and I called him, and went to lunch with him, and just a good old boy, old junk truck. He pulls up out there, and we started talking. I was witnessing to him. My goal was just to go after his soul to help him. So then afterwards, we're talking about similarities that we have. I mean, I love horses. He loved horses. He loves motorcycles. I love motorcycles. He said, well, you got a few minutes. Why don't you come to my barn and look at my horses? So I just went over to his barn. I looked, and all of a sudden, I saw all these Taco Bell trucks. And I said, what do you do, Mike? And he said, oh, I own a bunch of Taco Bells, and I own Kentucky Fried Chickens. And I'm like, cha-ching, cha-ching. God is going to bless this man, and he has blessed this man to help resource the church. I began to witness and continue to witness to Mike. Mike began to come to the church, and it was about the time we needed to actually buy the bar, which was now converted into an indoor go-kart track, and there was 1.2 million pounds of asphalt that we needed to dispose of. It was going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that. Mike hadn't given his life to Christ yet, but he was just a friend. And Mike's walking around there, and he said, I don't think it should cost all that. Let me call my guy that does all my Taco Bell business. And he called him and told him all about it. And you know what? Mike paid for every bit of that to be hauled off, be taken away. And then a few weeks later, I was on a little trip with Mike. Mike began to talk about his mom who went to heaven. And I began to talk to Mike about heaven. And there at that little hotel, I talked to Mike. He talked to me. And I didn't point the finger at him this way. I never tried to clean him up. I just tried to love on Mike. Mike gave his life to Jesus that night at the hotel room. Then a few days later, I was on his dad's boat. His dad gave his life to the Lord on the boat. And all kinds of testimonies could continue to roll on their life change and how it changed other people's lives. God didn't ask them to sell their yacht. God didn't ask him to sell the Taco Bells. I believe that God's wanting to bless people because for so long, the church world has been known as busted and disgusted, and we're on the backside of the tracks, and nobody's asking about how good God is. But here in this end-time revival, right now in 2014, God is beginning to raise up people and bless them and empower them to prosper so heathens say, hey, I want to go to church and find out about this God that can continue to bless you with life and prosperity and peace and tranquility and great happy marriages. Somebody ought to help me today. He's a good God. Now back to Mike. If some of those old boys hadn't put us on television, if we hadn't sold everything we owned to go on television, if I would have asked for money on television, that would have turned Mike off. But because the love of God came to him in a non-judging, relevant, culturally cool way, it touched his heart. And then now, Mike, 6, 7, 8 years later, I don't know how long it's been, he's one of the most faithful people that we have. He also flies me around in his plane, and he's the pilot. And the only thing that I look for is I sit over there and watch him fly sometimes, and sometimes late at night, he'll start falling asleep. The other night, we're flying home somewhere, and I looked at him, and he was just kind of going like this. And I was trying to get some rest, and I looked at him, and all of a sudden, when I saw him falling asleep, I had never been so awake in all of my life. I said, hey, Mike, how you doing? Let's start talking, baby. Now we're good friends. I'm here to tell you that a lot of times the blessing that you're wanting, that thing that you need, is right on the other side of your obedience to God. You're hanging on to a dime out of a dollar when God's saying, break it and bless it. Wherever you're watching, if you're going to a good Bible-believing church, and that church is helping people, you tithe to that church. You don't send the tithe to me. You don't send it to a local television evangelist. You don't send it to TBN and PTL and all these places. The Bible said the tithe belongs to the local church. So you bring the tithe, the first 10%, to the local church. You don't send it to me. You can send an offering to another ministry, but the tithe belongs to the church. I encourage you today to do that. When you break it like the little lad did, God will have enough to meet your needs and feed the world. That's what we're doing through the power of television. That's what we're doing rescuing girls out of sex trafficking. That's what we're doing in our churches around the world. That's what we're doing in Ferguson this last week and the week to come. We're going there to minister to people who are down and defeated and lost, and we're there to say, listen, I don't care what's happening around you. Faith Church is here to love you and to bless you and to feed you and to help you. That's what we do. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for you as your pastor and those of you watching today. How many of y'all would say, Pastor, it really hit my heart today. I'm done with being guilty of not putting God first. Just raise your hand and let God see that. Even at home, just let him see it. God, you saw that. Honest heart, raise that hand. God, I'm asking you as their pastor to touch their heart. God, we repent. We change. We say, you're now our priority. God, you don't just have 10% of our income. You have it all. God, I ask you to bless my friends with witty, prolific ideas. Accelerate their business. Bless them coming in. Bless them going out. And God, allow everything that their hand touches to turn to good. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord a hand for his word today. People